Well, as promised, Ken Timmerman is going to look at geopolitical activities with us. And Ken, you know, even though we're in the Christmas season, again, as we look around the world, and that's your responsibility for us, you're an outstanding broadcast partner, and you keep us up to date on geopolitical activities, we don't see a lot focusing on the first coming of Jesus Christ. There's remnants of it, of course, in the Christian community, but worldwide that is not the case. And it's interesting to me, as we get underway in our conversation, we have seen some Christians who have become outspoken in their beliefs, and all of a sudden they are being attacked by the media and by the people that say, well, this is not politically correct. You got to think that way. You can't talk that way. You can't express your biblical beliefs and what you think about. Of course, I'm talking about Phil Robertson, who is the head of the Duck Dynasty program, a very, very historic program, the largest viewed broadcast on cable television in the history of the world. And I kind of have an idea, having had some conversations with you, realizing you ran for the United States Congress, you're not a guy that tries to stay politically correct all the time. You think, and then you tell people what is really reality as it relates to some of these principles and policies that we should have. Would you not agree with what Phil's doing as it relates to not being politically correct?
First, I've got to tell our listeners that you and I did not set this up ahead of time. I am sitting here at my desk with a coffee cup that says politically incorrect on it, and that just happened to be what I picked up this morning. What's happening with Duck Dynasty has outraged so many people, they've even set up a Facebook page to boycott A&E until Phil Robertson is put back on the show. And that Facebook page has gotten over 1.4 million likes in 24 hours. It's really astonishing. You've got a politically correct elite in this country, and then you've got a groundswell of ordinary people who believe in Jesus, who take their faith seriously, and believe in the First Amendment of our Constitution, for crying out loud, and free speech, and the ability for people, who, whether they're actors or public persons, to be able to speak about their faith freely and openly. That's what this country was founded on, and to have people at A&E, these broadcast managers, to try to censor somebody for talking about his faith is a disgrace.
Yes, it certainly is. And I thought we would start with that because I was watching Charles Krauthammer on Fox News the other day, and they had a very interesting guest on their broadcast, and instead of asking him a question about a political decision he was making, he asked him about what he thought about Duck Dynasty controversy that's going on. So I thought we could start the same way. Well, let's get to some hard news and information that you're so capable of giving us insight into. The Iranian nuclear talks seem to be resuming there in Geneva. At the same time, a large-scale war game's going on in Iran. This is ironic.
Well, you know, at the same time as the Iranians are telling us, or telling their own people, that they can resume the 20% enrichment in a day. At the same time that they are telling their own people that these nuclear talks with the West are all for show. I think we need to understand what this is all about. The agreement that was reached in Geneva by Secretary of State John Kerry and the European Union and the Russians is essentially an agreement that authenticates, that certifies, that perpetuates the Iranian nuclear program. It does nothing to walk it back. It does nothing to suspend their enrichment. It does nothing to keep them from acquiring a nuclear weapon in the future should they decide to do so. And I note with some irony here that once again, French Foreign Minister Laurent Fabius is the hardliner in these talks. And he gave an interview this week to the Wall Street Journal where he said, okay, we see that these talks are supposed to be continuing at the expert level, but I really doubt, said the foreign minister of France, that they're going to achieve anything. And I really doubt that they're going to keep the Iranians from acquiring nuclear weapons. It's pretty extraordinary when the freedoms of the West and the safeguard of the State of Israel is left up to France.
What do you think is going to happen? They've got a six-month period of time when they're in Geneva there to discuss the details. Of course, the devil always in the details. And you have these senators in the United States Senate who are putting forward additional sanctions that will click into play should the Iranians not go along with the agreement at the end of 6 months. How's it going to play out? I know you're not a prophet, nor the son of a prophet, but do you have any thoughts about that?
Oh, I can tell you exactly how it's going to play out, Jimmy. The President of the United States has said that he will not sign. any new sanctions legislation. He won't sign it into law. So the Senate can do whatever they please. The president will veto the legislation. Now, they had wanted to attach it to the National Defense Authorization Act that was being discussed over Friday and Saturday, and it looks like that's not going to happen because of the president's veto threat. So President Obama has made it very clear that he doesn't want any new sanctions, that he didn't want any old sanctions either. People ought to remember that. He had threatened to veto sanctions in the past and did for the first 18 months of his presidency. He prevented them from being brought up, I should say, in the House of Representatives by putting pressure on Democrat Party lawmakers. So we do know how it's going to play out. There won't be any new sanctions. Obama will veto them.
And then Iran will just go ahead with developing a nuclear weapon of mass destruction?
I believe that the Iranians are going to continue their playbook, which is to develop capabilities that could allow them to covertly build a small arsenal, a militarily useful arsenal of nuclear weapons in secret, and then break out at a time that they choose politically. They haven't chosen that yet. I believe that they do not yet have the capabilities, that they don't yet have that small arsenal. But I think that that is clearly their goal. That's what they're aiming for, and you can see it in their negotiating strategies with the West.
And not only in the Middle East is Israel making preparations to do a preemptive strike if they have to, should that be the case. But Saudi Arabia, man, they're warning the entire West, we are against your policy in the Middle East. We're going to go our own way.
Well, they have, and they've warned about a nuclear capable of Iran, and they're also talking about Syria, that they will arm the Syrian rebels unilaterally if the United States will not do it. As President Obama said this week, he was going to pull back from helping the Syrian rebels because the emperor now has no clothes, and it's become very clear, as you and I have discussed in this show in recent weeks, that the Syrian rebel movement has been dominated by the jihadi groups, and that any Western aid going to the Syrian rebels will eventually wind up in the hands of those jihadi groups. I've got to add one thing, Jimmy, though, that's quite ironic here, is just this week you have the former Defense Secretary, Leon Panetta, when he was in office, up until just recently, said repeatedly that the United States would not go to war with Iran, that we did not need to have a military option at hand. Well, just this week he gave an interview saying, well, actually, we do need to have a military option. It has to be a strong and vigorous one, and that we need to use it in the event that these nuclear talks with the Iranians don't go forward. That's a pretty extraordinary reversal, I've got to say.
Yeah, I would agree. Man, he's from the other side, and making that kind of a statement should get the world's attention. And I hope Iran pays attention to what he is saying as it relates to that. Meanwhile, thousands of foreigners are fighting there, a part of the opposition in Syria. They're using that somewhat as a training camp to go back to their own nations and try to use this effort to overthrow their nations and put Islamic Sharia law in place.
Well, that's absolutely correct, and I think it's about time that we woke up to that in the West, in particular in Europe, but in the United States as well. I've got to say, it's not new. They did this in the 1990s in Brooklyn. They would recruit jihadis in the Brooklyn mosque, send them to Afghanistan, and then they would come back to this country and spread jihadi cells covertly. We have already faced that in this country. We have not faced up to it. We have not done anything to really crack down on those jihadi networks coming back from war. They did it during the Iraq War as well. They brought jihadis, Muslims from all around the world into Iraq, trained them in the fight against the United States, and at that point the Iraqi government, and then sent them back to their home country. So today the new front, the new training ground is Syria, and we have an awful lot of young Muslims from Britain, some from France, from Germany, from other countries in Western Europe in particular, and from the United States, who are now training in Syria and talking about taking the jihad back to their home countries. That's a danger we're all going to have to face up to in the coming years.
Again, I started this broadcast thinking about the first coming of Jesus Christ, a special edition of Prophecy Today, Christmas 2013. But everything that I'm talking with Ken Timmerman about seems to be looking towards the second coming, all the stage being set out there for the return of Christ. Ken, may I wish you and your family a very blessed Christmas, and thank you so much for participating with us. We'll have another talk real soon.
Well, thank you so much, Jimmy, and Merry Christmas to one and all.